The Lord be with you. We can't be God in heaven, so God comes to be with us on earth. And to explain what I mean by that, I want to tell you a story that happened this past summer. So this past summer, I was swimming deep in the creek in Upper Park, way up canyon, a little slack canyon where all I could really see were the cliffs above me. But as I lay in those waters and I looked up, every now and then I would see a plane fly overhead, maybe just like a few hundred feet overhead, and it was just one plane after another, and I thought that was odd. And then my phone started ringing, and I had it set so only my wife's calls would come through, so I figured, well, I should probably answer. I pick up the phone, and my wife says, you know, the app on my phone says there is a fire in Upper Park right now. And I said, well, I don't see a fire where I am at the bottom of the canyon, but that would explain why all these planes are flying directly overhead. And so I said, well, let me climb out of the canyon and see what I see. And so I climbed out of the canyon, and sure enough, I saw this giant column of smoke billowing up. And I said, oh, there is indeed a fire in Upper Park. So I hopped in my car, and I started driving out, and I was as far up in the canyon as you can be in your car. And as I was driving out, I got just about to Bear Hole, and there was a park ranger blocking the road. And he said, you can't drive out any farther. And I said, why not? And he said, because the road is on fire. It's a good reason. Today, Jesus says, where I am going, you cannot come. And when the world that you're in is on fire, that sounds terrifying. And there are many Christians for whom they look at the world and all the mess that we are in, and they pray for the day that Jesus comes and takes them away from here so that they can leave this mess behind. And in the meantime, what they look for is a place of refuge to just ride out the storm until Jesus takes them home. And for me, in that moment, I looked for a place of refuge also, and the park ranger said, well, your place of refuge is going to be the parking lot at Bear Hole. And so as I parked my car, first thing I did is, you know, tell my wife what's happening, and I started taking pictures and posting them on Facebook. And then I looked up, and I saw a familiar face. I saw the face of Anna Brink Capriola. Now, for those of you who don't know who Anna Brink Capriola is, she's the one who's looking at me in this picture. And I wasn't surprised to see her there, because Anna was the one who told me most of my favorite swimming holes in Upper Park. Anna grew up in this congregation. She is the daughter of Rob and Jen. And we usually only see her on Christmas and Easter, but she keeps track of what's going on here. And I said to her, Anna, what are you doing? And she said, well, I got caught in the fire just like you. And she said, I was further downstream, and I looked up, and I saw this big column of smoke. And so my friends and I, we got out of the creek, and we hopped in our cars, and we started to drive away, and I called 911. And I said to them, hey, you know, what's happening with the fire? And 911 said, well, we don't know there's a fire. You tell us what's happening. And so she started to explain to them that there was a fire in Upper Park. And as they were driving out, they saw two moms and their sons running in flip-flops and swimming suits out of the creek. And ahead of them were two SUVs who clearly had also seen the fire and were hauling as fast as they could to get out of the park. And those SUVs blew right past this family. But Anna and her friends stopped their cars and said to the family, what's happening? And they said, our car is in the fire. We can't get out. And so Anna and her friends brought those two moms and their kids into their cars. And the mom said, I don't think we can go farther. We got to turn around. And so they turned around. And as they were driving away, Anna said, you know, those SUVs aren't turning back. I think maybe we can get out. And so they turned around again and started to drive out. But then the park ranger came up and said, nope, you can't go any farther. Now, here's the thing. Those two SUVs never turned around. They got out. They went where Anna could not go because Anna and her friends stopped to help other people, and those SUVs didn't. And so as they turned around and started heading back up, the ranger said, you got to go to the Bear Hole parking lot, and everyone you see along the way, tell them to meet there. And so Anna got off the phone with 911, and she got on the phone with the moms because the moms got in one car, and she had the boys with her in the other car, and she's talking the moms through their anxiety and trying to comfort these boys, and along the way, they're shouting to everyone they see, meet at Bear Hole. And when I came across Anna at Bear Hole, what I saw her doing was taking care of these families. I saw her going around from car to car, handing out water bottles and snacks, making sure everyone had what they needed. I saw her acting as the point person with the ranger, saying, hey, this is what the people need. Is there any news I should tell them? And at this point, I need to confess something to you. Anna intimidates me. Yeah? She intimidates me because of what Jesus says today. What he says today is, I give you a new commandment to love one another just as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, Jesus doesn't say people will know that we're his disciples by how often they come to church, or by their ability to recite the creed, or if they wear a collar. He says that people will know that they are disciples if they love the way he does. And here's the thing about Anna. Even before this moment, you know, Anna did Peace Corps. She would teach kids in Gridley. When I talked to her on that day, she said, hey, I actually just got a new job. I'm now going to be a correctional learning instructor. I'm going to go to juvenile hall and teach teachers how to teach kids in juvenile hall, or teach teachers who are working with kids who are maybe headed that direction. I see Anna and I think to myself, you know, maybe this world is on fire because there's too many Christians like me who talk about Jesus, and not enough people like Anna who act like Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus, when he says today that he is glorified and that God is glorified in him, he says that after Judas has just left to betray Jesus. But before Judas leaves to betray Jesus, Jesus first washes Judas's feet. Jesus first gives him bread and wine, saying, this is my body and this is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus is glorified by loving others in a way that lays down his life for them. Jesus says, where I am going, you cannot come. And sometimes I wonder if Jesus doesn't mean to heaven, but he means to the cross. And I will admit, I don't want to follow Jesus to the cross, but I see some people do. I see some people like Anna who do that. And I'm amazed by it, because when the firefighters finally cleared a path for us to get out that day, I went home and I hugged my family. Anna went out dancing with a friend. And I think to myself, how in the world does she do this? So this past week, I called her up. I called her up to get permission to tell this story, and I called her up to ask her, and how is it that in that moment you did what you did? And she said, you know, Ben, I wasn't thinking about it. I just knew in that moment that I needed to be present and that I needed to be connected. And when I focused on staying present and staying connected, I felt the sense of trust. She said, the whole time I felt calm and I felt safe. She said, it was just instinct. And she said, part of that instinct, she thinks, comes from just who she is. But she attributes a lot of that instinct to being raised in this congregation, to having parents who would take her to serve at the Jesus Center and the Torres Shelter, who would send her down to the orphanage in Mexico where we go every year, Rancho Santa Marta. She said, I was raised to see God in everybody. You know, when Jesus says that he gives us a new commandment to love as he has loved us, we learn, as teachers will tell us, less by hearing and more by doing. We learn by doing things together. Now, love is a word, that's for sure, but Jesus is God's word. God's word made flesh to dwell among us, so that we might not just hear about God's love, but that we might learn to do God's love together, that we might learn what it means to do God's love, to make it a habit until it becomes just an instinctual part of who we are. But as I was talking to Anna this past week, she said, you know, Ben, that's not the end of the story. She says, that's not even the best part of the story. And I said, well, there's more? How can there be more to this story? And she said, well, so yes, after we got out of the fire that day, I did go dancing with my friend. But after I came home from dancing, I vomited. She said, I had worked so hard to keep it all together, to keep calm in the midst of that. When I finally got home and I relaxed, it all came out of me. And then she said, you know, 2 days later, I had a trip scheduled, a trip to go to the beach in Mexico. And one of her good friends lost his house in Cohasset because of the park fire. And so she said to him, why don't you stay in my house while I go to Mexico? But when she got to Mexico, at this beautiful beach with a friend, they were just there to relax and have fun, she found she couldn't. She was still thinking about what had happened here and all the people who were still being affected by the fire. She said on her phone she had this app that would show her what was going on with the fire, and she was constantly checking it, always calling people to see how they were doing. She was stressed and overwhelmed that she couldn't take care of everyone because she felt responsible for everything and everyone affected by the fire. And she said to me, you know, Ben, it's not the only time that's happened. She shared with me that the reason she had gotten this new job is because the past year when she was a teacher in Gridley, she had felt completely disconnected from her students. She had felt like she had nothing to offer them. She said every day she felt overwhelmed and ashamed that she couldn't give them what they needed. Friends, if loving as Jesus did means following him to the cross, means saving the world, not even Anna could do it. No one can. We can't be God in heaven for the whole earth, which is why God comes to earth to be with us. Today we hear from Revelation chapter 21. And John, who has this vision that he writes down as the book of Revelation, says that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away. And that passing away of the old world is what tends to get all the attention, because when something we know is destroyed or disappeared, it is scary to us. But the old world disappearing and passing away isn't the point. The point is what's coming out of a new creation in its place, like an egg that needs to crack so something new can be born. Our world needs to break so that a new world can come into existence. Because you see, the problem with our world is that heaven and earth are separate, that God is up there and we're down here and we're a mess because of it. But in the new reality that is to come, there is a promise. And the promise isn't that we're all going to escape this world and get up to heaven. It is the promise that God is going to bring heaven to earth. In the book of Revelation, John says that he sees a holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, coming to earth. And he says this new Jerusalem, it's adorned like a bride prepared for her groom. Because you see, this new Jerusalem, it is the marriage of heaven and earth. The two places that were once separate are now united as one forever. God marries us and moves in to live with us and take care of us. That is the promise. And I'll tell you what. Normally when I go to Upper Park, and I go swim in the creek, I never see other people. And the reason is because in Upper Park, there are 5 miles of creek to swim in. And if I see someone in a swimming hole, I just go up the creek and hop in the next one. And I get it all to myself, and it's great. But when the fire happened, when our park was being destroyed, suddenly everyone had to come out of their separate holes, and we all came to be in that same place, in the Bear Hole parking lot. And what I saw there was people following Anna's lead. Because sure, we clumped up into groups, but people would go from group to group to check on each other. People would open up their backpacks and their trunks to share whatever they had, sunscreen, or they'd turn on their car for a while so people could sit in the air conditioning. And when the firefighters would set up a line, or when we'd see planes dropping chemicals to put out the fire, a huge cheer would go out. And then, after a couple hours up there, Anna went to the ranger and said, "I know you want us to be close to our cars in case we need to move out in an emergency, but it's 100 degrees and we're in the parking lot. We're running out of water. Let us go down to the creek." And the ranger said, "Okay, but stay close to the shore." And so we all went and waded in the same waters and were refreshed together. In that moment, I caught a glimpse of that holy city, the new Jerusalem, where God's home is among mortals and God dwells among us. And over the summer, my wife and I have had a practice where each day we say where we see God. And so I told Anna as we swam in those waters, "Anna, today I see God in you." And as I talked to her this past week, she said, "My words that day have started something over these past 9 months," because Anna says she has trouble seeing God in her own life. She has trouble seeing God at work in her. She tells me that when she went to Mexico those 2 days later, as she was stressed and overwhelmed and feeling the weight of the world on her shoulder, her friend saw that she needed something. And so her friend said, "What is it that you need?" And Anna said, "To get into the sea." Now, I don't know if you noticed this, but in Revelation 21, after it says the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, it also says, "And the sea is no more." Now, I want to be clear. I don't think God is anti-ocean. Yeah, I don't think that's what this is about. You've got to remember that the Jewish people are a desert people. Right? These are people for whom the only good water is water you can see the bottom of or the end of, right? A stream, a spring, or a river. The sea is terrifying. It is a place of chaos that you can't control. You can't even drink the water. They stay away from it. And if you think through the Bible, the stories that have to do with the sea, they're scary, right? We get Noah's flood. We get Jonah in the whale. We get the disciples trapped in the storm on the Sea of Galilee. But in every one of those stories, the chaos of the sea is ultimately simply a way to reveal God's power. Because Jesus, he calms the storm. The whale swallows Jonah in order to give Jonah a second chance. That flood covers the world to give the whole earth a fresh start. The sea reveals God's power in its chaos, but when the new heaven and the earth come, that chaos won't be needed anymore. There will still be water, lots of it. The next chapter is going to describe how water flows through the new Jerusalem, and today we hear that to the thirsty, God gives water as a gift from the spring of the river of life. But to say that water won't need its chaos anymore, because God will be revealed directly to us. And God was revealed directly to Anna in the sea that day. She says she and her friend went down to the sea, and they were in this little inlet that's completely sheltered, and because of that, completely calm. But as she went into the water, she began to pray. And she prayed, "Take this away from me. Hold me. Hold this. It is too much for me. I give it to you." And she says that in the moment she prayed that prayer, that perfectly still inlet became filled with chaos, Waves arose and crashed over her, and then in a single instant, it was calm once more again. And she said, suddenly she felt free. She felt fine. In her own words, she said, it was a baptism, and I was washed clean. And she says she has felt free ever since. And not just free of the weight of the fire, but in all the other things she'd been carrying on her shoulders. Because in her new role, she returned to that school in Gridley where she had taught last year, and she was really anxious about returning to that school because she was ashamed of how poorly she had done as a teacher the year before. But as she walked across the playground, one of her former students recognized her, and they let out a cry. It's Miss Anna. And the kid ran to her and hugged her, and other kids heard the cry and saw what was happening, and they began to run to her too, and they gathered around her in this big hug, and not just students she'd had, she said, kids she'd never taught and never even seen before. They started to come around her and hold her close, and they started weeping her, thanking her for all the love that she had given them. And she realized in that moment that it wasn't her who had loved all those kids. It was the Spirit working through her. She realized that throughout her life, the Spirit has worked through her for others, to be with others when she is with them. And that's been true in Peace Corps and Rancho Santa Marta. It was true in Upper Park, and it was true in that school. But also, God is with her, shows up for her through other people when they are with her. That was true with me in the stream that day. It was true with her friends in the ocean and with those kids on the playground. Here's the thing. If loving as Jesus loves us means saving the world, means being God in heaven for this earth, none of us can do it. But before Jesus goes to the cross to save this world, Jesus dwells among us. And friends, we can do that. Jesus dwells among us and lets the Spirit flow through those whom he is with. We can be together and let the Spirit flow through us, because when we show up for each other, God shows up through us. Many people ask me these days, Pastor, do you think the second coming is soon? Do you think the end of the world is near? Look around, the world is on fire. And I answer honestly, no one knows but God. I don't know. But the promise of Revelation is this, that at the end of all the turmoil and strife, we won't have to work our way to get to heaven and leave this place behind. God in heaven will come to earth and be with us and for us. God will dwell with us as Jesus once dwelled with us. And just as Jesus once wiped our feet, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For God's home will be among mortals in that holy city, the New Jerusalem. I hope that day is coming soon. And if it's not, I give thanks that the Holy Spirit has gathered us all together. Because when we are all together, I catch a glimpse of the New Jerusalem, the city of God. Friends, this is why we are church. It's not why we go to church. It's why we are the church. It is why we are members who share a common life together in Christ. Because when we show up for each other, God shows up through us. And God shows up differently through each of us, right? Through some of us, God shows up as the one who gives water to the thirsty. Through some of us, God shows up as the one who fights back the flames. Through some of us, God shows up as the one who says, you don't have to be God in heaven, because God has come to be with you on earth. God dwells with us, for we are God's people. May we be known as such by our love. Amen.